Jesus' name. Amen. So, Isaiah, prophet of hope. Turn there if you would with me. We're going to look at like about four or five things out of Isaiah. Somebody came up to me this morning and said, I'd forgotten how many neat verses there are in the book of Isaiah. And it's just loaded. It's just filled with not only the truth of the prophet speaking true words, and his words are no less true now, if you look at what he has to say, but also the words of hope that he offers that totally revolve around God's deliverance through the Messiah, which is really right in the middle of all of this. Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So there were four kings in Judah, which was the northern kingdom, that Isaiah spoke into their lives and into their everyday experiences. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Even though they're my sons and daughters, they're not responsive to me. Verse 4, alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers. So it's not just one generation, but it's many generations. And you guys all know what that's like to bear the responsibility of the generations before you, because that's just the nature of life. We're raised in the environment where the generations before us have walked. And I thought this was interesting. Sons who act corruptly. And he defines it here. What does it mean to be a son who acts corruptly? They've abandoned the Lord. So this is the essence of corruption. Okay, abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. So not only have they abandoned him, but they have despised the fact that he's holy, and they reject his holiness. And they have turned away from him. And it's not turned aside, it's turned away. They've turned away from that God, and they have turned to another God or other gods, which, you know, if you read anything about the background of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? And this couple of phrases here has always struck me as I thought about nations and groups of people. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. The head is sick, so it doesn't know what to think and where to go, and the heart is faint, because when you have a sick head, then the heart has a lot of difficulty deriving any kind of courage, because it's focused on the wrong things. And it's so bad that from the sole of the foot, even to the head, I feel like he's describing somebody in their 60s and the pain that they carry. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation overthrown by strangers. This is the message of the prophets. Now, he was talking to one particular group in Judah, in the north. Israel had prophets that were speaking to them in the south. Verse 8, the daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field. And you know what that's like. Like a besieged city. I mean, how many times have I sat looking over my cucumber field and gone, this is just what Isaiah is talking about. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom, and we would be like Gomorrah. So that's the picture. The picture is not a pretty one. It's very ugly when it comes to this time, but also when it comes to any time you enter into the story of the human race. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah are the gold standard for creepiness. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. These are people who are bringing the right offerings, but their head is sick and their heart is faint. That in and of itself is incredibly instructive if you just want to think about it a little bit. Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly together. Here you are being solemn before me and holding on to your sin in the middle of it, your iniquity. I hate. And this is a big deal here because God instituted these. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become tiresome to me. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Cheery, right? Prophet of hope. But you know, you've always got to paint a heart picture of the bad news if you want to express the good news. So here's the remedy. Verse 16. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. All of these things come as a result of embracing the one in whom God has sent. What's the work of God? The work of God is to believe in Jesus whom he has sent. Would I be a great person if I washed myself and made myself clean? Remove the evil of my deeds from my sight, his sight. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Sought justice, reproved the ruthless, defended the orphan, pled for the widow. If I could do all those things, would it be enough? No. They would just point out my need to be covered by the grace of God. And I love this in verse 18. It's kind of one of my, life verses, if there is such a thing. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, I just described it. Your sins are just red. They're blood red. They're deeply red. Even though they are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So obviously I want to get to the root of what it means to reason with God. And that's kind of the emphasis of this syllable today, is that we would think in terms of what it means to reason with God and be reasoned with by God. Because, you know, that's really what the Holy Spirit was put inside of you for. The Holy Spirit was put inside of you when you believed in Christ. And when I believed in Christ, so that we are able to have a conversation, a constant reasoning conversation with God. And so that we can find hope instead of hopelessness. Turn over to chapter 9. You know, there are like tons of things in Isaiah. And if you've never studied the book of Isaiah, that's about as concise of an explanation of what the bad news is that I know how to give. You know, but he's opening the door. If you consent and you obey. Obey what? Well, if you believe in the one whom he has sent, then all of these things can be accomplished. They can be done. Chapter 9. There will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in the darkness, now he's talking about Galilee because this is where Jesus spent most of his public ministry, was around that sea. He didn't spend it in Jerusalem where the new moon festivals, the appointed times were taken to their apex. The people who walk in darkness are going to see a great light. Those who live in the dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. So this is decidedly a change of heart that God is offering through whatever is happening by the Sea of Galilee, and he's going to explain it more. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and the cloak rolled in blood will all be taken and burned. All of the examples of warfare, all of the examples of pain are going to be burned up. How's that going to happen? I mean, first of all, there's a lot of those things that have been buried, right? A lot of those people that have caused those kinds of pain are dead, right? For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. So basically, the dominion, the authority of everything that's just been described will be placed upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his dominion or of peace or the throne of David and over his kingdom. So that's like the hope in the middle of all this. And you know, Isaiah's not done doing smack talk here. He's going to continue all the way through the first 39 chapters of this book. But he never loses sight of the hope that God has provided so that mankind can escape. So, turn over to chapter 12. This one's so good, we're going to sing it. I was thinking about all the different songs that we're able to sing and amplify the principles that are in the scriptures. It's really a cool thing. And this is like a short little chapter in the book of Isaiah. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah, and boom, here's like this little dinky chapter. So let's read it together. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. Everything that Isaiah, everything that Ezekiel, everything that Jeremiah described, the anger has been turned away. And you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. He's my deliverance. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and he is my song. He has become my salvation. And I love this imagery and just how it flows together with what Jesus taught. Therefore, you will joyously draw water. Not desperately, not because you're feeling like you're going to fall in the middle of the journey. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things, glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Wouldn't that be a cool song? I thought, let's sing it slowly today. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the Lord. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of glory. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim his name is exalted. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the Lord. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the Lord. And this is the verse that teaches us why we're supposed to lift our hands. And I thought, seeing the kids aren't here, this would be a good chance to practice so you don't have to embarrass yourself in front of the children. So however you lift your hands, go ahead. I'm not going to demonstrate it. Lift up a standard to the wind-swept mountains. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hands that they may enter through the doors of noble men. You know, you did such a nice job at that, and I don't have a band right now, so I don't have to honor the band. Lift up a standard on the wind-swept mountains. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hands that they may enter through the doors of noble men. Hey! Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the Lord. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the Lord. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the whole earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy. Oy! O inhabitants of Zion, great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst is the Lord. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst. Great in your midst. Great in your midst. Big finish. Is the Lord. I got the wrong chord there. Let's do the finish again. Great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Great in your midst. Great in your midst. Great in your midst is the Lord. Turn over to chapter 55, keeping with the idea of the power of God reasoning. The songs are great because they remind us the conclusion of the reasoning. This particular song, which we're not going to sing today, although it'd make a great song if anybody feels like writing one. Let's start with verse 6. It talks about the everlasting covenant. In fact, it's interesting, he returns to the concept and the idea of the waters and returning to the waters of life. So he talked about it early on. Now he talks about it here at the in chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, let everyone who thirsts come to the waters. And this is the passage that's quoted in Revelation. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink in Revelation 22. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. For he will have compassion on him and to our God. And he will abundantly pardon. What a cool thing. You talk about grace. Pardoning. You know, taking it away. For my thoughts aren't your thoughts, my friends. My ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, and it will not return to me empty or void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So in this whole picture of the life that we live in, God is doing a work that is basically taking us from here to there. I mean, we got to be taken from here to there, right? Because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So what's going to get us there? And it will only be through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's finish the chapter, verse 12. Then you shall go out with joy. You shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. I can't wait to see it. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord, an everlasting sign, which will never, ever be cut off. I can't help but think about, I caught a little bit of the Noah movie that came out a couple of years ago. And I thought, well, I'm going to watch a little bit of this. You know, I never watched it because it had rock people in it. And I was kind of like, that's kind of weird. You know, rock people. I don't remember the rock people in the story of Noah. And so I watched this thing. And, you know, I watched about, I don't know, a fourth of it until it got so blasphemous that I just couldn't take it anymore as it was explaining who God was and painting a picture of who God was. And my thought as I was flipping it off and going, and I wasn't flipping it off, but I just was turning it off. But my thought as I was turning it off, I was thinking, how many children are going to grow up thinking that's the story of Noah, rock people that came down from heaven, and Noah being such a conflicted individual in understanding what it meant to be such a man of faith. Because, you know, Noah believed God. Noah believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. So I'm not recommending the movie at all if you have missed it. So the book of Isaiah, it's one of those treasures in the scriptures. You know, we have kind of 66 treasures, but this is pretty pivotal. It's like, I love things about Jeremiah, I love things about Ezekiel, I love things about Hosea, and Joel, and Amos, and Obadiah, and Jonah, and Micah, and I like things from all of those books. In fact, we're going to be talking about Jonah here pretty soon. But what I really like in the book of Isaiah is it paints a hopeful picture. And if you feel like you're like struggling a little bit with hope, you can go to fourthstream.com and click on the thing that we posted this week, and it's about hope. And it's about Isaiah being the hope prophet. But I kind of bumped over, Bernie and I bumped over from this particular book over into Romans chapter 5. Because hope is something that's dropped right into the middle of our lives, but we don't start with hope. Hope is something that occurs as certain things happen in our lives. And we don't have time to look at that today, so there you go. And any questions at all or thoughts that you want to share? Kids are supposed to be back by now. I've got a song that they're going to sing, but you're always welcome to join us on Saturday nights. We're doing days 18 through 23 in the Streams book. So, and then next Sunday's Ruth. So there'll be something that pops up on Ruth, and we'll be talking about that together. Why don't you stand with me in chapter 50 of Isaiah, curiously enough, another song that we sing, and this wasn't necessarily planned. It just seemed to happen this way. And your children have already sung it when they went to the heart time. And I'll start with you the same way I started with them. Let me see your tongues. It was wonderful. They really threw themselves into it.